What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Well, it's Ryan Dawson filling in for Mike Rivero. I always, Civil War stuff gets me triggered because the education, well, not just the Civil War, every war America's been in is just abysmally wrong most of the time. That's with our modern wars, from Ukraine to Iraq and Vietnam, which I call the war of helicopters and heroin. And I can go off on stinking Lincoln. In fact, I just did a speech because, you know, the classic mis-slavery stuff, they bring up the cornerstone speech and, oh, slavery is mentioned in some of the secession papers. I can dunk and debunk all that and then counter with the Corbin Amendment, da-da-da-da. But we can do an entire Civil War stream a different time. Or you can come over, and I do that on my own show all day, every day. I know there are a lot of callers that want to get into Stinkin' Lincoln, and you can still ask about that, but I have a guest, Dr. Kevin McCran, to come on, and we're going to talk some Rona stuff while I have his time. Fellow expatriate who lives in Japan, I think is on the line now. Kevin, are you there?
I am indeed, Ryan. How are you, sir?
Excellent. I'm starting to wake up. It's a bit early here in our time zone.
Well, I've been up all night, so forgive me if I'm stumbling over words at this point.
Well, if you start sounding like Joe Biden, well, no, you need a nap. That guy needs a nap. They're throwing him under the bus.
Oh, yeah, like, I think
you're
so.
You're going to have President Kamala. Ugh.
It'll be a sad day.
Kind of think that Hunter is involved, has done a plea bargain and is throwing his dad under the bus because all these properties they're searching are properties that he had access to. And, you know, they don't want Biden in there anyway. But, yeah, it's...
Well, I mean, you know, he's got his fingers in a lot of pies. I mean, I was listening to the first half of the show, and you were actually doing a really good job of sort of breaking down the lab situation in Ukraine, the clandestine funding and projects that have been pumped into that region. And, you know, I'm personally of the opinion that a lot of
I would add that some of this kitty fiddling and other blackmail is not somebody. It's a way of selling insurance. Because when you do something as illegal of gain of function research and weaponizing viruses, you got to know you're not going to get double crossed. So they go ahead and let you have the goods on them. Right? If you got a tape of somebody, you know, things I can't say on air. You know, that's insurance. It's like, well, this person's not going to get out of line. Right?
Well, there's a very interesting character and organization. It's called Metabiota. It's the West Coast equivalent of EcoHealth, and perhaps even more reprehensible than EcoHealth, although the Metabiota and EcoHealth had working relationships.
That's the hard. That's like who was worse, Sherman or Satan? Like it's pretty much a toss up.
It just depends on the day and the time, right? Your mood. But you know, there's an individual who heads Metabiota. His name is Nathan Wolf. He wrote a book called he is indeed even has the Jufro as well, and the book Viral Storm in its acknowledgments literally lists Jeffrey Epstein, and this is symptomatic of the corruption that's happened across many of the U.S.'s top institutions.
That was a target of Epstein, too. Like Epstein and Maxwell were targeting science and technology.
Yes.
People assume it was judges and politicians, but no. AIPAC already owned them. They were going after, like Steven Pinker. They were going after Bill Gates. They were going after science and tech. And they got Bill Gates. They got most of Microsoft's senior staff was wrapped up in it.
Yep. And, you know, there's I can't emphasize enough the role of eugenics in their thinking and their planning. You know, what were their specific aims? You know, that would
Remember in Penax Magnus Opus, Rebuilding America's Defenses, Strategies for Securing the Realm? There's a passage in there where they talk about racially specific bioweapons.
Yes.
And not only were they insane enough to think of such a thing, they thought it would be perfectly okay to publish such a thing.
Yep.
And it was, because there was absolutely no clapback from that.
Yeah, and this is a long-running theme in the biowarfare space. We can go back to Project Coast in South Africa. They had, a working relationship with our greatest ally in the Middle East. And the... Well, I mean, we can dive...
Sold them nukes, but the price wasn't right. They did give them some fighter jets. They were going to give them, too. Same thing. They wanted more money, though.
The Israelis or the South Africans?
The Israelis were selling it to South Africa.
Okay. They were...
But the entire world was boycotting the apartheid. Israel couldn't do that. They have their own apartheid, right? And they were trading with them anyway.
Yep. Right. And, I don't want to get into the topic of South Africa too much, but, you know, the...
Operation Coast?
Yeah, Project Coast.
I don't know about that one. Is that a eugenics?
No, so this was a program initiated by South Africa, and they were looking for ways to control their, swarthy end of their population. And it wasn't just germs, it was chemical agents. And South Africa and that program was responsible for making tons of MDMA. It's why Israel became such a locus for dealing and selling ecstasy. And
$80 million were two different $40 million rings busted, one in the West Coast, one at the East Coast.
Mm.
And a lot of those drug profits went into aiding terrorists.
And, you know, these programs stretch back decades. And, you know, what we're dealing with in the current pandemic scenario, is that my computer making the beeps in the background, or is that yours? I want to make sure it's not me.
I don't hear it, so.
Okay. God forbid it's me. I hope it's not. The pandemic as it stands today, we can see that there's 20 years of research just in the quote unquote modern era. This, you can look at 9/11 as being a sort of bookend as part of these research programs, and much came out of the Patriot Act and the fears of bioterror post 9/11. And I'm sure I don't have to remind everyone of the anthrax attacks that took place.
That's kind of been memory hold, that there was an anthrax attack on the heels of 9/11 that said death to America, death to Israel. And the notes said 9/11 on them, and they were sent from the same location as where the hijacker cells were. And the belief in the beginning was that, oh, Al-Qaeda sent this anthrax. And, of course, they all lied and said about the Prague meeting, da-da-da-da. But it wasn't. It was out of Doug Way in Fort Detrick,
Maryland. Yep. And, the amerithrax was, or the anthrax was what's classed as, you know, the surreal name of amerithrax, because it had been tailored and machined to such a fine consistency that it could be essentially aerosolized. And the same groups and the same networks are intimately involved in the research around coronaviruses, SARS, and also the programs that have taken place or were ongoing in Ukraine. And we can look to DITRA, DARPA, what happened as paranoia spread after 9/11 was that much of the,
a lot of the Congress were taking Cipro before the anthrax was mailed.
I would have no doubt about that. And you know, this is this is a little known
fact.
They're
taking the anti-anthrax agent prior to the. Oh, I guess there's randomly going to be an anthrax attack, right?
Right. And you know, there's a similar little factoid that people aren't really aware of.
I wonder if Pelosi and Co. had had ivermectin before Corona got released.
Oh, many of the political class were getting access to ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. We know this.
And really?
Yes.
I was saying that sarcastically, but that doesn't even shock me. Mike Rivera would say, imagine my lack of shock.
Yeah, and you know, this it gets worse than that, because there was a class of drugs that were actually discovered as a consequence of HIV research. And you know, one of the little talked about details of SARS, maybe people can remember sort of 3 years ago, but as the pandemic broke out, there was an Indian paper that was put onto a preprint server, and it had its title was SARS-CoV-2, the uncanny similarity with HIV. And there are inserts into, like, nucleotide inserts that have been put into the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 that are that match HIV, but not just one HIV, and this is what would indicate that it's synthetic in nature, is that these variable loops are from different clades of HIV. So there are HIV subgroups, if you like, related to different countries. So there'll be like a African HIV and an Indian HIV, and it was these were individually spliced in to the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2, as well as something called a furin cleavage site. And the furin cleavage site allowed it to spread to far more tissues than the standard
Was that
SARS.
Named after Lindsey Graham, furin cleavage?
No. But to get back to the therapeutics that were available, there's a class of drugs called peptide fusion inhibitors, and these were known to prevent infection from SARS-CoV-2. And I'm sure most of the listeners are, how should we say, upset at the push for vaccines. I'm sure many were forced to take them because of job requirements, mandates coming through the federal government. And the simple fact is that we had early treatments or treatments available, and these were prevented or deliberately shut down. So that
went so nuts about ivermectin that you had the late night comedians, which are spooks, saying it was horse paste and horse medicine. And Joe Rogan, very popular, the most popular maybe podcaster, took ivermectin and got rid of his Rona. They were like, whoa, Joe Rogan's on there taking horse dewormer. Yeah. And that's just not true. That's not what it is. It's an anti-parasitic, but it's for humans. Yes. And they were so disingenuous and kept saying that. Jimmy Kimmel and all the rest of them were like, oh, eat your horse paste. Ha ha ha, making fun of it. And you were not allowed to correct it or push back without getting banned.
Yep.
They were so afraid. Like, that would have saved lives and reduced sickness. And they didn't care. They're like, no, it's the mRNA therapy that they keep calling a vaccine.
It was worse than that, Ryan. There were deliberate changes to established treatment protocols in hospitals, where when you go into hospital with pneumonia or any type of lung infection, it's standard procedure to give you antibiotics. They blocked these procedures and prohibited even giving things like Z-Pak, azithromycin, as a standard of care. And again, you have to ask yourself why. And a lot of it was geared towards the rollout of this next generation therapy. I don't like calling it a vaccine because it's based on genetic engineering techniques. It's gene transfection and
cardiac Russian roulette,
right. And the disturbing aspect about this is in their design of the gene transfection technologies, they took a number of steps that prior to the pandemic, it was known from previous research into vaccines, including HIV. I can't overemphasize the crossover between HIV research and SARS research. And
you know, our buddy Dr. Fauci was involved in both that.
Yeah, very much so. And the decision by the vaccine manufacturers to make a to make the technology such that it recapitulated the whole of the spike protein, when they knew that it had properties in it that they would normally under normal circumstances, remove those epitopes from the vaccine itself. That includes the furin cleavage site, and it includes the HIV-like sequences that were that had stood out very early on in the pandemic. So basically, I don't think it's a stretch to be saying that, you know, there's a concept in biowarfare where you talk about binary agents, and what that means is that you use a combination of pathogens or chemicals, and in order to amplify the effects, the disease-like effects.
Uh-oh. You're gonna have to finish that thought on the other side of this break.
Yep, no worries.
Callers, you can call in and talk to both of us, 800-313-9443. We'll catch you on the other side of this commercial.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And we are back once again. You can call in on the line. The number for that is 800-313-9443, or locally 512-248-8252. Dr. Kevin's on the line with me now. We're talking about biowarfare right before the break, and you were talking about two elements in biowarfare. Please continue on that thread. I was like riveted, and then as here comes the commercial, I'm like, wait, what's the answer?
So
I might get some cowbells and horns for Generation ADHD out there, and they're like, well, you're not as animated as Alex Jones. Like, look, guys, go watch Jerry Springer. Like, this is content rich for adults. If you can't handle it and you need a now and then, like Krusty the Clown, go pop a pill or something. That's your fault. That's directed at some retard on Cozy. Just like, yeah, we need more animated co-hosts, high energy. Hey, this isn't a circus, okay?
No, this is deadly serious. But people need to it's incumbent upon you to understand the weaponry that's been unleashed against you. You know, we have to look at the available evidence, and everything that we're seeing point to a release. I'm not going to say whether it was deliberate or not just yet. I have my own views about that. What I want to do is I want to reinforce in people's minds that the virus plus the vaccine have a fit all the criteria of a class of biowarfare that in this instance isn't illegal under the biowarfare conventions, because it falls very much into the class of what's called incapacitating agents. And if something doesn't kill you, then it's a-okay under these conventions. And this is the comeback that, you know, people often give, which is, well, COVID has a 99.9% survival rate. Well, actually, what happens is that people who come into contact with COVID, around 30% at any one time suffer these long drawn out symptoms that are predominantly neurological or cardiovascular in nature. And there's a growing body of evidence that the vaccine does, or the gene transfection technologies do not prevent you getting infected. In fact, what they seem to do, and this is data that has just come out in the last few weeks, people who have received multiple shots undergo a process called
regret
and antibody class switching. And so the antibodies that your body produces, where normally they would be immune activating, they would fire up your immune system to try to help you contain the virus. What they do is they switch to a class that's just called IgG4 class. But what they do is they actually suppress the immune system's response to the spike protein of the virus itself. And basically what that does is allow a chronic infection to occur. This data is so new in the public domain, we're not really sure what that means. But what we can know from first principles about the molecular biology of the spike protein is that there are a type of protein fragment in the spike protein.
Oh, no. And that'll pass the blood-brain barrier.
Yes, we know that the spike protein passes the blood-brain barrier. That was understood from very
protein
early
fragments. Is this from prion folding?
Yes. So what we know is that there are it's a process called amyloidosis, and these are the way to think about them is like mad cow disease or chronic wasting disease in deer. And when your body tries to break down the spike protein, uses an enzyme called neutrophil elastase, and this comes from the white blood cells, it fragments the spike protein, and these peptide sequences are released, and they cause these amyloid cascades. And how do these cascades manifest? Well, as I said, there's a large cohort of people who are, you know, they call it long COVID, who suffer this neurological or cardiovascular type symptomology. And right now we're in a situation where we have a, as I said, a large cohort who are long-term impacted. In fact, there's been, I want to say it's an extraordinary number. It's like a 20-30% increase in the people who are registered as handicapped and unable to work in the United States. Plus, what we're dealing with, and this seems to be a almost universal phenomenon, not only in the US, but in across European countries, countries where we're getting good data, there seems to be a sustained level of excess death that they're calling non-COVID related, because it doesn't fit the classic description of what people think COVID is, which is the acute respiratory type distress symptoms. And again, we have to ask ourselves.
Imagine a portion of that number is because they closed down hospitals, and so people weren't getting treatments they needed and screens they needed.
Well, yeah, there's many factors that come into play, and you know, one of what you mentioned, fentanyl coming out of sort of Ukraine. There are many people who, because of the social dynamics over the last few years, have lost jobs, are under enormous amounts of stress, fall into the pathway of drug abuse, and all these factors mount up into a degree of morbidity and mortality that contributes to this excess death phenomenon. But also, a lot of it is related to these, you know, we're seeing the people fall down virtually every, you know, celebrities every day at the moment are face planting and
happy coincidences.
Yeah. Yeah.
And fentanyl, I mean, there used to suicide rate was about 44,000 and went up to 100,000. It's this fentanyl benzo combo because it's extra deadly when they're taking it with those. Yes, they are.
Yeah,
and it's coming up from Mexico and it's coming over from China, but the procurers and traffickers are out of laundered the money through Ukraine. That's how they washed it and got the proceeds. But
and people
doesn't quite explain the gap though of all these unexplained deaths. And a lot of it, some of the deaths obviously were early Mona, but you have a lot ongoing with very young people and athletic people who are just passing out and clutching their heart. And it seems to be related to the mRNA therapy. However, there's a lot of bad arguments being made about that. I call it like died suddenly, which is like the loose change of the anti-vax movement.
Yeah.
Has, you know, clips from 2017 and 2011 in there, which were happening before there was Rona or a vaccine. They've got pictures in there from plastic surgeries in India and stuff years before. Like, they're straight up lying to your face. There's post-mortem blood clots that are involved, and they're acting like, well, where did this come from? And so they're kookifying this on purpose so that if you talk about how vaccines cause blood clots, they're going to point to that movie and all the inconsistencies. Like they said, the birth rate in Australia dropped 70%. No, it went down like 0.5%. And make you look like an idiot. And so, guys, if you're promoting died suddenly, stop it, because it's full of cuckoo nonsense and just like loose change. Like, yes, the government story about 9/11 is bogus. Loose change is even worse. They didn't get anything right about 9/11 other than the date. And died suddenly is made by virus deniers. The producers of that film don't even think viruses are real. They don't even mention Corona in the whole film. It's just about the vax. Just stop promoting that filth, man. Like, this, you do not want that to be the spearhead of this movement. Blood clots are real. The vaccines appear to be related to that. They are dangerous, but you do not want kooks on the forefront being your voice.
Yeah. The Stu Peters network, that whole Lindau network is look, these are sophisticated psychological operations that are being deployed.
They put Bigfoot in the beginning of the movie, like, oh yeah, let's throw that in there, you know, like this is they're trying to kookify this on purpose. And it's not because they genuinely believe this and they're just dumb. They're not dumb. It's intentional.
And you know, people have to really grasp the idea that there is an asymmetric war being conducted against the human race, I would argue. It's not limited to just one country, and we could discuss back and forth about what their final aims are, but my role at the moment is to try to make sure that as many people as possible get through to the other side of each assault that's made on your body, brain, and mind. And these are dangerous psychopathic individuals who have shown that they won't think twice about targeting.
Do you think it's beyond just profiteering for big pharma? It's beyond just making money, that they actually are trying to harm the population?
Yes, I think the evidence points in that direction, very much so.
And do you think there's a eugenic aspect to that?
Oh yes, as well. Just look into the history of the networks involved, and a really common one that people are familiar with is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. The Gates family were rabid eugenicists. And
is there any particular ethnic group that is most immune to this?
Yeah, so this is one of those interesting factoids about SARS that came out when as the pandemic started, and this is the ability of the virus to bind to its primary receptor of choice, which is the ACE2 receptor, and it's distributed widely through the body, and it's primarily involved in controlling blood pressure, if you like, vasodilation and constriction of blood vessels. And there appears to be a spectrum of responses with respect to races that are susceptible to the virus, and the most dangerous strains, so this is the original Wuhan strain and the Alpha and Delta strains as they emerged, the binding strength for the virus the races that were most susceptible were Southern European. And the races that were least susceptible were Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese, Han Chinese. Huh. Now,
the type of Europeans were the most susceptible and Ashkenazi Jews were the least susceptible.
That's correct.
Coincidence.
Yeah, it's another one of those coincidences. And we're in a complex battle space, and is that data point the drop down be all and end all data point? I'm not so sure. I wouldn't put all my eggs in that one particular basket, but
it's just an extra data point I find interesting. Yeah. Right, let's take some calls. I'm going to go in order of distance. So Chris in the UK, I think that's Chris Edwards. If you're still there, pop in with a question.
Hey, how are you, Ryan?
I hear you. Morning,
Kev. How are you? Kev, I want to personally thank you, Kev. It's quite an honor and a privilege for us to have you on the independentbroadcasting.com website.
No. Welcome,
glad that you're
Chris.
Here. A lot of people are enjoying your content. And Ryan, I'd love to have a weekly show with you on our network. But getting to the point, if what we think is the truth with this biowarfare, as small as we are as individuals, what can society possibly do to stop it or to change it? Or is it too late? Are we gone beyond a certain point to where we can't return to normal? You know, we'll never return to normal.
Well, I don't think we're going back to, let's say, 2010 or sort of pre-pandemic times. My advice right now for people is mitigate all exposures, either through infection itself or through transfection via the needle, and be very wary of the next generation surveillance systems that they're bringing out. Today in the World Economic Forum, they were talking about what's coming next after this round.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be bigger than ever.
Well, you know, and Tony Blair was there with Albert Bourla, and what they're talking about is that they want to introduce vaccine passports, digital vaccine passports, because in their discussions they're saying the next pandemic is just around the corner. And you know, to take a step out and back in history a little bit, everyone will remember that they tried to sort of blame this on bats and viruses leaping out of caves, and the narrative that they were trying to push was that this was all about man's encroachment onto the natural world, and we needed sort of green policies to constrain our activities. They're essentially trying to still carry on with that particular agenda and narrative, and the next phase is to instantiate this digital gulag for the world. And yeah. the way they do that is, well, I always use the example of
Uncle Ted was right.
indeed he was.
And the other question I have for you, Doc, is Richard Fleming did those he posted on his Rumble here the last few days those videos of the COVID or the vaccines reactions in human blood. It's kind of the same thing that you did, what, about a year and a half ago, and you showed the same result, that the red blood cells lose their oxygen, what happened? It desaturates?
Yeah, so that's work I did in collaboration with Dr. Richard Fleming. That paper is out today, and basically what we observed when exposing fresh blood to both Pfizer, Moderna, and Janssen vaccines was that the red blood cells would lose their red color, and clotting would occur, that they would clump together. It was a very, very preliminary study, and you know, it's taken nearly 2 years to get it published. And I really wish we could have got it out earlier, and maybe there might have been a little bit more pushback against mandates and people who were harmed unnecessarily.
Well, I got some other callers lined up. Sorry, I'm running out of time. But yeah, thanks for calling in. Let's get Tom from Florida, and then Francis, Mark, and Jeremy. All right. Well, Mark from Tennessee.
Hello. Yes, Kevin. My name is Mark in Tennessee. I've been listening to your broadcast since June or July of 2021, and all of the shocking revelations, hundreds of hours, and I'm very grateful for the noble work that you've done.
Thank you.
And I work in an area adjacent. I work in drug development, and I used to invite Fauci to speak at a conference that I organized back in the early 2000s, when he was big in the antiretroviral drug research to ostensibly to combat AIDS. And I've been very intrigued by the science that you shared amongst the other topics you've enumerated. And a couple of questions. Let me cut to the chase here. Where is the fear and cleavage site located, and exactly in your view, in your evolving view, what is the significance?
Well, the fear and cleavage site is the virus that we're dealing with is called a Sabeco virus, and fear and cleavage sites are not associated with this particular virus, and it is part of a 19 nucleotide insertion into the spike protein that forms
can it be viewed as an agonist or an antagonist, and if either of those are on point, an agonist or antagonist to what?
So what it is it allows the splitting of the spike protein by what's called transmembrane serine proteases. Mm-hmm. And the inclusion of this sequence, the furin cleavage site, normally, as it's not there in other Sabeco viruses that could potentially make the jump, their ability to trans or infect tissue is limited. Because the transmembrane serine protease is widely distributed through the body, what it allows is the virus, once it gets access to the body, it allows the virus to transfect far more tissues because of this automatic splitting of the spike protein that occurs once the virus comes.
Is it fair to say that it acts as an agonist then?
As a facilitator of infection.
Okay.
And
thus, gingers have no soul. Sorry. Sorry for the ginger joke. I'm just trying to lighten it up. This stuff really blackpills me that they released this into the wild and they're still acting like it was bat soup based on a meme from a picture of a woman eating bats in Micronesia. Mm. But that's, you know, with the FBI controlling Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, there was no counter argument. They had complete dominance over the narrative. Look, this was gain of function. NIH paid the money to Echo Health, who did research in Wuhan. They created this chimera virus, released it, and now they've made these vaccines, which aren't really vaccines, that don't stop the virus, don't stop the spread of the virus, but in certain people are causing symptoms, especially with the heart, blood clotting, myocarditis, and coincidences. But we've got Jeremy from Kentucky on the line. We're smashing through the breaks. We're not going to have them. We're just going to get as many callers as we can. So Jeremy, who often calls in when I do a sub, if you're still on the line, give us your two cents.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's great to hear you on RBN. Hopefully you can come on my show, Ryan. I sent you the Scott, and I have a question for you.
When we get a time, I'll figure out a time slot, and we'll do that for sure.
Oh, yeah. I have a question for your guest. This is regarding the discussion on AIDS early on. So if you pull up this 1982 New York Times archive article, it actually refers to AIDS as GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency syndrome. And it's pointing out that it was basically homosexual men and junkies that were spreading this virus in the bathhouses of California. And, of course, Fauci capitalized on this as, head of the NIH. And instead of telling these people to stop their lifestyle, they just sold them a bunch of expensive drugs. So my question to your guest, Ryan, to Kevin, I think is his name. When these homos do anal, like it rips them up inside, and then when they eliminate waste, it causes severe infections. I mean, I'm not a virus denier. I don't go down that whole road. But what I am saying is that I think that AIDS could have been prevented by just a change of lifestyle, telling the homos and the junkies to stop what they're doing. But instead, they capitalized on their behavior and made a lot of money for Big Pharma. I just wanted to get your comments on that, whether you think AIDS is an actual virus or whether it's a lifestyle problem.
I'm of the opinion it is a virus. It's likely the consequence of research in laboratories that used primates in the 50s and 60s. It probably has its origin in polio vaccine research. And
that type of lifestyle would spread the microbes, though. That's why.
Also, it attacked people
with suppressed immune systems, and a lot of homosexuals that were doing recreational drugs had already wiped out their immune system, and so they're going to get HIV and spread it to each other because a lot of these guys have 100, 200 plus partners, right? So it's both.
Yeah, it's the lifestyle certainly doesn't help. I would say the more critical data point is it points to the coordinated research that, like I say, I pointed to SARS research going back 20 years. The research around HIV and other weaponizable viruses goes back decades, and these programs have been with us for, you could say, 100 years if you really wanted to trace it back. And that's the primary problem that we have right now. And the pathogens that were amplified because of homos and their lifestyles, the organizations that were there to, supposedly treat them are predatory in their nature, and
about it like computers. Like, who benefits from computer viruses more than the antivirus people?
Yeah, very much so. And I would, urge caution in people's interaction with these organizations, the therapies that are being propagated. There's evidence that much of the or what we think of as HIV was a consequence of vaccines that were introduced to try and treat hepatitis and targeted towards gay men and drug users because of increased risk.
We've got three calls to get through. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have Bob from Utah and Layla from Canada just give us the questions, and then Charles, we're going to get all the questions and we'll try and answer them all. So, Bob, give us just the question if you're still on the line.
Right, and then I'll hang up. I have two accusations. The guest is operating on two false presuppositions. Number one, that the sequence of SARS-CoV-2 in the GenBank exists and circulates in the biosphere. Number two, that the recombinant sequence, the spike protein in the GenBank, exists in vaccine victims. And that's it. Thank you.
All right. Now, I'll let Kevin address that, but I'm going to get all the calls and questions first because I'm going to get run out. Layla, and you can just pause and hold that in your head, Kevin. Layla in Canada, if you're there.
You mentioned that there's a greater susceptibility amongst people in Southern Europe and a lesser susceptibility amongst Ashkenazi Jews. How is that the genetics are very, there's a lot of heterogeneity even in Southern Europe. How could they have targeted it? Now, the Ashkenazim, no doubt that's very, very, there's a lot of genetic similarity. But in Southern Europe, that's a wide area with a lot of heterogeneity. How is that possible?
Right, I understand the question. All right, and then Charles from Florida, St. Petersburg, it looks like. We're going to try to answer all these in a row.
Yeah, yes. They say Fauci had to do with AZT used for homosexuals, and AZT was the
AIDS medication that attacked red blood cells.
Yeah, that it was unnecessary, like remdesivir is now, you know, just a thing to kill people off. AIDS patients and supposedly homosexuals, especially. Have you heard of this new supposed cure for the spike protein? It's called BROMAC. Which stands for bromelade. I think I'm getting it. Acetylcysteine. I saw that on Truth Seeker. I don't know if it's true or not.
I think you're talking about bromelain and acetylcysteine. And another good one to add is quercetin.
So it's being used to treat the disease.
I would try to use it as part of your everyday vitamin supplementation, and perhaps another one to add to that is natokinase.
You lost me.
Let's try and get them in order. So Bob said you had a couple presuppositions in his opinion, and I forgot exactly what he said.
I wasn't sure about the question that the sequence was in GISAID and the vaccine sequence is in GISAID, but beyond that I wasn't sure what
that exists in the biosphere.
I would want him to sort of, I'm happy to speak to him again if he wants.
Can you call again, Bob, because we got a little bit of time? And let's try to answer Layla's question.
And Layla's question is, so when talking about the binding to ACE2, it's essentially, you're essentially talking about probabilities. And the, yes, you have a lot of heterogeneity in Southern European, but the haplogroup and genotype is still going to be, it's still identifiable as, you know, Southern European. That's why we can make these distinctions. It's distinctly different from North African, and funnily enough, Finnish are one of the protected groups as well. So, again, you know, genetics is complex, and it's an observation. And again, I would be careful about putting all my eggs in that one particular basket.
I just think admitting that it's possible to have racially specific bioweapons, and this is something they wrote about as a desired outcome, is something to keep in mind. It looks like, well, Bob, why don't you call my show later? I don't know what else to suggest. We've run out of time. This is Ryan Dawson of the Mike Rivero Show. So I'll be on with Jeremy some other later this week. So, and Kevin's reachable too. We enjoyed your time, enjoyed your questions. See you next time.
Thank you.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.